Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 484 with the phenomenal and delightful Rose Abdu. If you are a fan of Hacks, or quite honestly, any number of the myriad of millions of things that Rose has been a part of, she is so warm, so funny, so smart. Definitely have a major friend crush on her. I know you're going to love this episode. I do want to quickly announce that I actually had to pull out of Salt Lake FanX because of a job. So even though I said the last 2 weeks that I would be there, I can't be there. I'm so sorry. Maybe this affects no one, but hopefully I'll have another. I do have some other appearances coming up that hopefully I'll be able to announce soon. And in the meantime, please fall in love with Rose Abdu. Talk to you next week. Okay, so we've covered all of the important 2022 stuff, like whether we both had COVID. Fantastic.
I just can't get over how every single person, like, you know, how there's always things that people don't know about.
And yeah.
Everybody knows about it. It's crazy.
I know. We all know what it is. And it's called the same thing.
I know. And everywhere. I live on Corona Drive in Glendale.
I'm so sorry.
Like the worst, it's like in the beginning, it was like, oh, like the beer. And now I go Corona Drive and every person everywhere taking an address down goes Corona. I go, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the worst was, I remember thinking this in 2020, like, what if your name was Karen Corona?
Screwed. I feel so bad for the Karens, and yet it is the perfect name for that. I do have some cute friends named Karen. I do feel bad, but they have such a sense of humor about it, they don't even care.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I was trying to think if I had ever, I mean, while I want to agree with you that's a perfect name, I was like, God, and yet every Karen I know is the opposite of that. So, but somehow it works.
Yeah, speak to the manager. They're not those people.
They're not those people.
I know. I can't even think of a better name for that.
Yeah.
That person would be what? I don't even know.
I don't know it's either.
The haircut, like when they show the, there's a website that's all the Karen things. I can't get enough of it. I watch that. There's a lot of things I watch now that I think, ooh, pre-pandemic, I never would be sucked into this like loop of.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I have stuff that.
You work throughout. You're working the whole time, you know, like people, a lot of people who haven't worked ask me, what's it like to work? What's it like to test all the time? What's it like? And it's like, it just became like, that's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I remember the first time going back, I went back like in, you know, August or something of, or September of 2020. And it was like going into the fitting. And that was at the point where the wardrobe people had to wear everything. It was like mask, safety glasses, and face shield, and the paper garments, and gloves.
Crazy.
It was so crazy.
Think about our business and how many things we would touch of each other's. Because when you think going even just lunch break, and you'd hand each other silverware, and here's plate, and that plate.
Yeah.
Next service, and digging into the same thing. It's such a touchy-feely business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have stuff that, like, I already am the person who's like, I'm so sorry. There's a bug in my food. I'm so, so sorry. I'm so sorry. There's a bug in my food. Is there any way I could get a different? I'll pay for it. I'll pay for another meal. There's a bug. I feel so bad. I didn't put it there again. Not my fault, but I do feel terrible. And so the Karen thing, being a like white blonde woman, the Karen thing ratcheted that up even more to where I'm at the point now where someone could be like, I'm going to need to steal your car. And I would be like, of course, I'm so sorry. Of course you do. Absolutely. 100%. Please take my car.
That is so funny. Yeah. And I'm the person who's like, there's a bug. You need to get rid of it. I'm like, I'm Lebanese, Dominican.
You're fine. You're fine. You're not going to. Yeah. The worst thing that can happen to you, if I may say, is someone will be like, she's feisty. Like, that's right. The, like, offensive. That's the racist offensive thing.
In New York, and I had written a show about my family, and my mother was in it. You know, I imitate my mother all the time. I imitate my mother in so many roles I get cast in that she actually went, you know, if you weren't from Mama, you would not have a career. So the reviewer wrote her hot-blooded Latina mother. She got so mad at me. And I go, it's not my fault that he thought that's on him. That's his frame of reference to call you hot-blooded.
Right.
She Yeah, she hates when anyone goes, spicy, hot Latina. We cannot stand. That's her pet peeve. She's 95.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
Where did you grow up?
In Southfield, Michigan.
Okay. Where is it? Is that to the south? And I ask that only because you never know. Southfield, Michigan would be like, no, it's actually the northernmost point of you know.
Things are named so crazy. Everyone from Michigan goes like this. Yes. And tells where they're from.
Yes.
They're mitt in hand. But my, the suburb is 17 minutes from downtown Detroit proper.
Okay.
So it's really a close suburb. And I grew up between 8 and 9 Mile, really, really close to 8 Mile in Northland Mall. Like I could walk to 8 Mile. We lived right off 8 Mile.
Okay.
So when Eminem's movie came out, my mother's like, you know, everybody sing that Eminem 8 Mile, but we don't live in that part of 8 Mile. 8 Mile is long. It's a mile. And I don't live in the part that Eminem makes. But I got to this dinner party. This woman was wearing a beautiful bracelet. And I said, oh, I love your bracelet. And she goes, oh, thank you. My husband got it for me in Detroit. And I go, well, that bracelet and me are the only two cute things that came out of Detroit. Like I was just goofing around.
Yeah.
So afterwards, my husband says to me, do you know who you were sitting next to? I said, no. And she goes, you know Curtis, who directed 8 Mile?
And oh, my gosh.
Like, what? And it was.
Oh, that's really funny.
She's delightful, but it was really like, oh my God. And I kept talking about my mother and what she thinks of Eminem. But anyway, that is the part of Detroit that I'm from, is 8 Mile Southfield.
Okay.
And yeah, and I grew up in Michigan, and it really was like, you know, typical suburban. When I watch things about a typical suburban, whatever, in the 70s, that was my upbringing. I was always so jealous of people that lived in the city and took the train places, and, you know, it was like a boring Wonder Years, kind of like get on your bike, go to your friend's house. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no store you could walk to. You know, it was really suburban. I don't like that.
Yeah. That's not for me either. Was Detroit at the time, like in the sort of mythology of your life and your parents and all that, was it like, watch out for Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And my sister and I worked at downtown in Hudson's, this gigantic department store, like a 12-story department store that in its heyday was all that, because it took up blocks. Like you could cross over from Farmer Street side to the Woodward side. It's just a huge, huge, famous department store. And my father would drive us down there and we worked there. People, when they heard my mother let us work in downtown Detroit, but we loved it. We just loved it because there were pockets of it that were still good. But yeah, sure. It was always like, you know, your parents, like my husband's from New Jersey and his parents taught him to fear New York City and 42nd Street. Like they think that's part of raising kids in the suburbs is you go, don't go to the city. It's too dangerous.
Right. Right.
See movies about comic books and go like, oh my God, it's gossip. Yeah. You know, it's scary, but I've loved cities since the time I could even look out a window. I mean, yeah. I wanted to be like that girl and, you know, walking around high rises and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I also feel like it's either one or the other, right? It's either like, watch out because the cities are dangerous because it's packed full of baddies,
right.
Or like all the really twisted stuff happens in the suburbs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's where all the creeps live. Hiding in plain sight. It's like, they're both true. Don't worry. They're both true.
Party that like you go through a storeroom and it's like, what's this? Just store. And then you open a door and it's like a fabulous nightclub behind, like, you know.
Oh, sure.
Cans or something. That would be something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So you definitely sort of, yeah. So you sort of had that, like, that picture in your mind of all the kind of magical urban stuff that the city potentially has to offer.
And even this trip to New York in June, you know, I was like, my friend Susie, I think you know Susie Nakamura, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's in POTUS on Broadway. And it was so good. But I went, I wasn't going to miss it. I was like, you know, who cares about COVID? I'm going to go. Just that little trip to the city that weekend in June. It was one of those weekends in New York where the weather's perfect. And it's just,
yeah.
I came home and I said, you know, I got COVID. It was worth it. It was worth
it.
Just to be in that atmosphere again. I love cities. That's LA's been challenging for me because I don't love having to get in the car all the time and everything.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Where did you live before LA?
Chicago.
Of course.
Greatest city. If you can't live in New York, Chicago. I mean, I don't want to call it the second city, and yet it is.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it. I lived there for almost 20 years, and I lived all over the North Side, real close to Wrigley Field, actually, at one point. And I love taking the train, and I love everything about it, just the shopping. Ah, I love the people. I love Chicago. I haven't been.
I'm supposed to go for C2E2, which is, you know, like their Comic-Con. The problem is that when I go for stuff like that, there's just not a whole lot of downtime. And I think I've been there 3 times. And the only, like, I did some live shows at night. One of the trips I was there for live shows at night, but I think it might have been during the con as well. So, and it was like cold, and we would pile into sort of a bus to get, you know, like a hotel shuttle kind of sized bus to get to the venue. And you're sort of looking to see, like, I think that's Lake Michigan.
Right.
And then experience
it that way.
And then I did a thing at a university, but that was like a quick turnaround. I was, you know, doing stuff with the kids. And then the one time I was there that I had a free morning, I like raced to the Institute of Art or the Art Institute so I could see the tiny rooms because I love miniatures.
The thorn rooms.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Rose, kindred spirits.
I love miniatures since I'm a kid. And I turned, like, I didn't have a dollhouse when I was little. I had a bookcase that I turned into a dollhouse. So now as an adult, I bought a dollhouse. But I realized that the reason I wanted a dollhouse was to have control over decorating, because my mother was like, she even had to do my room. Like, I didn't get to pick anything. Now, house as a human being, the dollhouse is like this albatross around me. I'm like, now I got to decorate them. I just picked up the rugs for the human size living room. Now I got to. So I have all the furniture, but I sculpt miniature food out of clay.
Yeah.
And I love many things. I love anything tiny. And when I would see dollhouses and in the thorn rooms, just want to shrink myself down and get in there.
So amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen anything the way they play with light. So that sells it hard. Like the way the light filters in through the curtain, you're like, you can't convince me that's miniature. I am looking at something real.
Let me ask you this. You, Ben, last summer, I was the first time I'd ever been to Tucson. I think I did Second City Tour, but we never went to Tucson. We did Scottsdale. Have you been to that museum in Tucson?
Here's the thing. This is anybody who listens to my podcast for more than one episode is like about to be mad at me. I'm from Tucson.
Can't believe it.
I had never heard of this place. So I don't know how long it's been there. I know I would have known about it when I was a kid because I was obsessed and knew where all the little places that sold any dollhouse stuff is. I've never been there.
You're young, but I think it's not, it hasn't been around that long. It must not have been.
I would know. I just would know.
You would know.
Because I gotta go.
Live near there, and every time we drive back and forth to their gated community thing, I was like, miniature museum. And finally I went. I can't say enough about it. You have to go.
I almost went the last time I was there, which was the time I discovered it. And I randomly discovered it looking for something else on Google and was like, skim. Wait, it was around this thing. And then I looked at it and was like, whoa.
Best afternoon of my life.
What do you mean miniature museum? Not that far from where I grew up.
Now I want you to go so bad so we can talk about it again.
I gotta go.
Got a tiny little penny in the gift shop. People who don't love tiny things. Are going right now. Who cares? But I have to say, the tiny food that they sell in that gift shop, my kind of food is better than that tiny food. Are you listening to Sun Miniature Museum?
I need to see your tiny food. Yeah. You can send me pictures.
Yes. And then on my Instagram, if anyone's listening, at Rose Abdo, R-O-A-B-D-O-O. I have pictures of different things I've sculpted, but I love, how did we start talking? Oh, Chicago and the thorn. Love it. Can't get enough of it.
We could talk about that forever. And I will say, shout out to Sarah Schaefer, who I also spent the whole time on my podcast. We talked about miniatures because she was in the process of redoing a dollhouse that she then gave to someone. Which was lovely. Anyway, she feels the same. So
I want someone to take mine who's going to love it, because I belong to, admit it, several miniature groups on Facebook that people do the wiring and they do the moldings. And I feel like I will never be able to do it justice. And it is a really beautiful doll. I will give it to someone who wants it. So anyone come to my house and come get it.
Listen, I'm going to have to continue this conversation with you offline because I can't go into how I worked at a miniature store when I first moved to San Francisco. It was like high end. And high end.
Oh, I worked with recently Mayim Bialik.
Yeah.
On Call Me Cat. And I don't know how it came up. Oh, we were saying different special skills you have listed in your resume as an actor.
I should
have gaining and losing weight quickly and miniatures. So she said miniatures. And she had just been to the Tucson Museum. So we started talking. So I ended up going on her Instagram and seeing the kinds of things she likes to bake human size. And I see her tiny replicas of the
A wonderful gift.
We just bonded over there too. So I always feel like when people, you either like love it and get it, or you just go,
yeah,
you know,
which you can understand. It's one of those things where You can, I mean, I personally, I feel like you're saying this as well, just in the fact that you pointed this out. It's one of those things I can pull back from and be like, yeah. I can super see why you would be like, this is a stupid conversation. Opposed to being so deep into something where you're like, I just don't understand why everyone wouldn't feel the way I do.
Yeah, you don't get it. You don't get it. I know. But that's the bad thing about scrolling late at night is into looking at these people who use, because I just use my clay. People take the paints and they shadow it and make the bread look like it came out of the oven. And I mean, I could just, I don't know where that comes from. Oh. I would give anything. I would love to be in a movie where they shrink me down like a honey.
Yes.
I want that to happen.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to work on that. There's a lot of science that needs to catch up to your desire, but I am going to devote the rest of my life to working on that for you. What was your high school like? Was it a very suburban high school?
Yes. My high school looks just like Rydell High.
Okay. Yeah.
So 1950s looking, it's like classic. If you saw the outside of it, it's not like one of those modern Michigan high schools, which there were, but it's just like, there was house O, house B, house A. Their high school reunion is this weekend. This coming.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 40 years. So it was fantastic. And I'm one of those people, you know, how you'll talk to people that are like, they hated high school. I loved high school. I loved it. And I had a very, very special group graduating class of 1980 in Southfield High, because the really athletic people were also in choir. And the people who were like on the swim team were also in, you know, like there was a lot of crossover. So it wasn't like the jocks, the theater nerds. No, crossover all the time.
Like, love it.
Football guys all came to the musicals to support us. We'd go to the games. Like, it was really a fun, great group of people, really great group of people. And we still, like, everybody keeps in touch online. I'm not one of those people that, like, you know, I remember, I have to be reminded, like, you're familiar to me. How do I know you? Like, I just feel like some people are so good at right away going, oh my God, Rose, remember in, you know, 11th grade when you sat behind me and said this, and I'm just like, what? Like, now that all this stuff's going on, I watch the, not to get political, but watching the trial, the hearings and everything, the trials. Uh-huh. I was thinking,
wishful thinking.
I learned all this in government class in high school, but you need a refresher course. Man,
oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the different branches of government. I'm like, what was I doing? Was I not paying attention? I mean, I know a lot more than a lot of people, but but it was a good high school experience. And that's what, it was funny that you asked for a teen picture, because I thought, oh, what's the story with, like, wondering about those years? Like, my high school was, we were the first group in that high school that they let people in ninth grade. For whatever reason, the districting changed and ninth grade
was
considered part of junior high. So we were the first ninth graders to go to high school.
Oh, gotcha.
The teachers all saying, you're acting like a bunch of ninth graders. We're like, we are ninth graders. Like, I was a freshman, and I remember thinking, like, this is the big time. Like, it's so weird. I was like, this is what it's all about. And it was like, it was just like every movie you ever saw about high school, except not bad, you know, not, it wasn't scary and horrible.
Yeah.
I have just terrifying high school.
I know.
They're almost like Carrie, you know, like crazy stuff.
Yeah. The bullying thing is, it's, and then there are people who are like, you know, well, if you don't remember there being bullies, you were the bully. You're like, well, I mean, no, that's an oversimplification. I don't think Rose was a bully. I think probably that's not what was going on.
We had so much fun. I do remember, like, getting really into the theater department, and to the point where, like, the teacher, Mrs. Bortz, was like, she'd let us eat lunch in her office, and it became like this little club.
No, sure.
Use the set pieces from different shows to be like, this is the troll bridge from some dumb show that was, like, you know, done, but you could still use it to sit on and eat lunch and talk about who's allowed on the bridge, who wasn't. But it was in good fun. We didn't like exile anybody, you know. I don't know anyway. But yeah, it was a really happy time. And then I remember they let us, there was old cinder block dressing rooms, and they let us, for $1, you could buy a brick and paint your name on a brick. So I remember, I loved Carol Burnett Show. And my friend sent away, he figured out a way to write CBS and get, like, the scripts from the Carol Burnett Show. So I wrote her logo, because it was red lips. And I painted it really carefully, red lips, with the Rosie Abdu Show in them. And somebody went years later and took a picture of it and sent it to me. It was still there.
Still there? That's lovely. So
they let us each paint a brick for $1. Only $1? I don't know.
Some people might argue you could have painted it for free, because your school shouldn't charge you for painting a little mural brick.
It's defacing.
It was the drama teacher's like, la, 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 I'm going to the race. Yeah.
But I remember eating lunch. Lunch was always a salted bagel. I haven't had a bagel with salt on it probably since 1980. And fudgesicle from the machine in the hall.
Oh my God.
I just felt so adult to be able to, like, I bought an ice cream bar for lunch. Like, meanwhile, it is the most unnutritious lunch you could ever have.
I think back on my snack bar, especially in grade school. I don't know why grade school. I don't remember having a snack bar any time other than fourth through sixth grade.
Ooh.
But we definitely had a snack bar, and student council members definitely would run it. And I guess I must have been in student council, although, boy, I cannot remember actually being in student council. But I think I might have worked there for, like, you know, but I ate so many pickles in a bag. Ooh. And then saladitos. I don't know if you had to, like, I don't know.
Is it an Arizona thing?
I don't know if it's an Arizona. I think it might be like a Mexican thing, but it's a dried prune that has been covered in chili and salt. And then a lot of the time you'll stick it into if you buy it, it'll be stuck into a lemon. I mean, it's very, very sour sweet. I guess there's sugar on it too. But I mean, you know, nothing
nutritious. Like, for a kid's snack, I think.
Well, it is. It is. If you're not. Yeah. Because I went to a school in the barrio, and I truly did. Like, that's all the candy I ate was Mexican candy. So everything had tamarind in it.
Right.
Or chili powder, or, you know, there were just like
peanut things with the rose on it. I love La Rose. They're always for sale.
Those little peanuts. I mean, I think about the amount of just chili, like just straight chili powder that I was consuming on a regular basis. And it's kind of insane. Like, it was nuts. But, but yeah, the snack bar, just eating garbage. And like, I never got tired of it. Like, there was never a day where I was like, I don't think I want a pickle today. I was like, God, obviously I'm going to have a pickle. Hello.
You know, I have a friend and he thinks his taste, he's like in his 60s. And he goes, well, I have the taste of a fourth grader. I thought, you know, I guess it's considered unhealthy. And as you age, you need more balance. But if that makes you happy, like, sometimes I feel like people, when they get older, won't eat something because they think, like, well, that's for children. But it's
right.
If you like it, then, you know, who cares if you want?
Yeah. My sweetie, when I got Charlie One Niner, went out to get some Pedialyte and came back with Pediasure and didn't know, because everyone was saying, like, take Pedialyte. And he was like, I got it. And I looked at it and I was like, I think this is different. And he was like, no, I'm sure. I think it's the same thing. It's, you know, Pedia. And and I was like, I don't know. I think maybe you just bought us like a vitamin milkshake. And what we wanted was like the kid version, organic version of Gatorade. But he's just been knocking back those Pediasures. Like, these are good.
Pediasure is like baby Ensure. Isn't that like the baby Ensure?
And it really, but I will say, it really tastes like a fast food chain vanilla milkshake.
Delicious.
Like, it tastes like, my McDonald's vanilla milkshake melted down to just be like refrigerated temperature instead of frozen. So I could see how you could get sucked in.
Yeah.
But I was like, I just want you to know, it's not doing the thing that Pedialyte does. So it's not like checking that box at all.
Ah. Oh. Now I'm going to be thinking about kid. What was the, Wendy's had a chocolate chip cookie. I don't eat fast food, but I toured with Second City. So we would stop. There were people had their favorite road snacks and we always had to pull into some drive through. The chocolate chips in Wendy's chocolate chip cookie, when they had them, taste like Apollo space food sticks.
Uh-huh.
Grew up when there was the saucer or whatever, the saucer, the spaceship landed. There was this eat what the astronauts eat.
Sure.
Wave of stuff when I was growing up in school. And they were space food sticks. And it was like a chocolate, not like a fake chocolatey stick. But I was eating this cookie thinking, where does this taste so familiar to me? And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I figured it out. Yeah.
Space food.
I love any kind of, like, I live in Glendale, and close by in Highland Park, there's the vintage candy store, Galco's.
Oh, yeah.
They have vintage soda pop. Any kind of like candy that is from our childhood, I love, love. Like Chuckles, like one of the, you know, and I really shouldn't have all that stuff with corn syrup, but it's like, I have a nostalgic thing about miniature food, candy, you know, old movies, you know, I love stuff like that.
Do you feel like you're drawn to that even more in the last couple of years?
Oh,
like,
I think so, yeah.
since everything just felt like, well, this is new. We've never lived through something like this before.
Oh, exactly. And my mother's going to be 95 next week, and she's very alert, 95-year-old, but she's, Rosie, what happened? what happened to the people? What is going on? When is this going to end? And she keeps asking me and asking me. And I just finally just went, congratulations. You live long enough to see the end of the world. It's the end of the world. You know, not to be a downer or whatever. She can't stop laughing. Oh, I live long enough to see the end of the world. Like,
it's good news for exactly one person. Yeah. And that person is your mom.
Like, oh, I go, just think you could not, you, this could have just been something you missed all this. So now this is something that we wouldn't have ever been able to describe to you. You know,
that's right.
Right. So she, that's right. It's all new. But I keep saying to my friends, I think I have to keep my mind focused on, well, at least we knew what it was like before. Like I find myself thinking, I feel for people who are young, like the 12, 13 year olds. Cause I'm like,
yeah,
how much life ahead of you? God, we hope they do. I mean, it's just like, I feel so lucky to be this age. Because I already know what it was like all the other times. I don't know.
I know.
Took a turn. Sorry, everybody.
No, it's okay. I will say, you know, the feeling that I get or that I have sort of elected to lean into about that is just doing Comic-Cons and stuff and seeing so many young people in their teens and 20s and stubbornly believing, like, I do believe you'll fix this.
Yes.
Like, I do think you will certainly be scarred and traumatized from all of this.
Right.
But I do feel like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is happening that is more, you know, self-aware and empathetic and sort of community aware than there was. And so I'm being very stubborn and thinking, like, you know, they'll have a world for themselves.
Totally agree with you, Janet. And I feel like, they're smart. They'll work it out. But it's like, when I think of in school, we were taught, like, there was the Indian with the tear, don't litter. So we would draw posters, you know, give a hoot, don't pollute. I'm really dating myself, but I mean,
the focus. We've all heard of those.
Do not eat your candy bar and throw the wrapper out the window on a family vacation. Yeah. Like, you know, we would look at people on the side of the road and go, pick that trash up. It was all about picking trash up, but nobody knew the big picture of, like, and we're making a hole in the ozone layer and the plant. You know, we just didn't get, I don't know. I feel bad. Like, oh, we should have started this such a long time ago, but we didn't know, you know, like someone was telling me, oh, you know, oh, that's only recently that people can't smoke when they're pregnant. And I go, well, my mom, I have a picture of my mother. She's hugely pregnant with me. She's got a giant Pilsner glass of beer in one hand and in the other. And I'm like, look at me. I turned out fine. But I mean, it really is different. Like the kind, it makes me think, what are we doing right now that years from now, like, oh my God.
I know. I agree.
You guys can't drink out of aluminum can or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
What will they discover?
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun. Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I appreciate so much being a part of, like, a comedy world, because I've never needed laughter more than I have the last couple of years. And that is such a gift. Have you found that too? Like, are you, and was that something that was true for you growing up? Like, are you from, you know, your mom sounds amazing. Is it like, are you from a sort of a funny household where, like, laughter?
Yes. And my father was very much like, kind of George Burns delivery, like very quiet and very, and just funny on accident a lot.
And he's Lebanese?
Yes. He was born.
How did they meet?
Do you know what? Thank you for asking me that, because I love telling this. My father was on vacation in Florida, and his family said, you should go to the Dominican Republic. It's a short flight from Miami. My father's father was a Roman Catholic Monsignor, a priest very high up in the Roman Catholic Church. He would go every year to Dominican Republic to bless the Dominican baseball team. And he said to my father, you should come with me. Well, that through relatives and friends, he had seen a picture of my mother and he goes, hey, she's really cute. He was 46 and she was like, they were 13 years apart. So somebody do the math, 33, 32. And they met at a party and she barely knew English, but she knew he came from a good family. His brother was the priest, his father she had met before. And 3 days they went to dinner party, dinner party, dinner party. He goes, she fixed me a nice plate from the buffet table and that's all I needed. But he just thought, who's this girl? And she was like, oh, his little eyes light up behind his glasses when he saw me. And that was it. They met, they fell in love. And he goes, I think we should get married. She goes, when? And 3 days they got married. They were happily married for 40 years. In three days, they knew that.
Quite a story.
Isn't that something? So she came here. She knew nothing but from American movies. She did not know about the United States. She came in May. So it was gorgeous. There was all these like trees in Michigan with pink flowers. And then when it snowed, she picked it. She goes, it's cold. She thought it was like cotton because in the movies, you know, she couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
She had no idea. So she was from, it was fun growing up with a mom who was like America. Like both my parents are like, this is the great, you know, the greatest place you could ever live. And so they had a very romantic story. And she said she felt like Grace Kelly. And so it was, so to me, it was like anyone I ever went out with, if I didn't love them after 3 days, I'd be like, move on. Not that I was ever looking to get married, but you know what I mean? It's pointless. You should be in love after 3 days or you.
Oh, wow. Or you, that is a weird accidental weird. Standard.
Yeah. Set. You can see however many people you wanted, but he was very funny. She's very funny. She one day said to me, you know, I think like, I love Woody Allen movies. This is before all this stuff.
Yeah.
That if I have command of the language, I think I make jokes like him. Like, it's very funny. Like she's a Dominican woman of a certain age. She loves Seinfeld. She could tell you the plot of every episode of Seinfeld and Curb.
Uh-huh.
It's really weird because if you think about it, it's like, what does she have in common with them? But she did. She did.
I love
and
that.
I imitated relatives. I think like a lot of people that worked at Second City, you know, your first characters are all people from your life.
Yeah.
But I found that I love being around funny people. And the thing that bonded the Second City group that I came up with, like, you know, I toured with Steve Colbert and Scott Adsit and Steve Carell and, you know, Chris Farley and all those guys were so funny. We all loved old TV. Like everyone talked about their favorite shows and staying up late to watch The Tonight Show, even though their parents didn't want them to stay up that late. You know, and I felt like these are my people. You know, I love that. But I feel like now kind of proud of being in the field because for a while I was like, you know, is there something else I should be doing? I don't know. And during the pandemic, people turned to streaming. Like people needed content. And I felt proud that it's like, wait, I'm supplying you with stuff that keeps you company and keeps your mind off whatever the bigger picture of what's going on. And I feel very, you know, blessed to be part of like the storytelling world. You know, you've done a billion things like that where you're just like, this is valuable. Like this is a patch for people, you know? And it made me, I think what happened in the past couple of years, it made me realize the importance of it.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. I feel exactly the same. Were your parents, like when you, because you said you were doing theater in high school, were you also doing other stuff? Had you kind of expressed to them like, you know, guys, I really love this. And did they have an opinion about that? And like sort of where it was going to take you in your life?
I love that question because we go on family trips. Like they would go to AAA and plan the big, you know, road trip from Michigan to Florida and try and show us everything in Disneyland and everything else. And my father had a giant Oldsmobile and I always took the seatbelt and I'd go, look, which we never wore. We never wore.
They were props.
Wear microphone. And on our left, the stuff keeps America going. Like I was constantly tour guiding in the car with the seatbelt. And my mother would go, Rosie, please take a nap. Like they were just like, oh my God, this will not shut up. And I constantly was tour guides. I'm going to be a tour guide. I'm going to be a tour guide. And I said it so many times. That's where they would take me to museums because I could see, and I was fascinated by anyone who did like the tour guide on the boat or the tour guide in the museum and the tour. Then as I aged, I realized I wanted to be like a foreign correspondent. And I told everybody that I'm going to be a foreign correspondent. Then I realized, do I really just want a trench coat? I kind of just want. So then I got to Michigan State after I did every play in high school. My parents came out the fit, you know, everybody came to see everything I did. I go to Michigan State's huge school. Like it was 46,000 people. And at the time, I love saying this to kids today because everything's online. We had to go to the racquetball court, stand in line for hours. And there were those punch cards with the hanging chair. That's how you registered for class.
Oh, yeah.
Look over and go, well, telecommunication, I'm going to be a newscaster. And the line was so long. And I was like, I got friends waiting for me for lunch. I got to go. The theater was this long. The theater lines were like three people. So I just kept going, oh, let me get one of these. So it was like, Russian roulette. Like I just kept getting in line for
wow.
because there was no line. So people say to me, oh, how did you start doing this? I go, I didn't like waiting in line. So I took theater class. By then I had so many theater classes. I was like, well, I might as well just stay here and get another degree in this. So it was like, you know, it kind of happened by accident, I guess is what I'm saying. But I really loved the people, the kind of people that were attracted to theater and telling stories. I find them to be the more open-minded people and just funny people. And I love yeah. I loved them. They reminded me of people in my own family. And it was like the chosen family, you know. And then it happened again. I moved to Chicago because I didn't know how to drive. I thought, well, let me
is that why? I mean, in the sense of you knew you wanted to
yeah.
go somewhere else, but it was like, where do I not?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to get out and be in a city. And then a friend of mine, Bill Ellison, he worked at Second City and he goes, you should come and audition for it. I started taking classes. A group had come to Michigan State to perform. And I thought, this is so amazing. They're creating scenes with
yes.
a set, with no costumes, just four chairs. I was fascinated by it. And that's what made me want to start doing it. And then I auditioned and then the rest is, I started working with yeah, a lot of really cool people came through at the time I was there. So
yeah,
I was very, very lucky. Yeah.
Did you have like you talked about seeing the people that came to the school? Were there people that came before you that you sort of understood their style to be something that felt like?
Yeah,
that's yes. This I love that this person like yeah. as you're taking classes and starting to understand like, oh, people kind of have even if the curriculum's the same, people right. sort of have their, you know, their grooves spirit. That they kind right. of, yeah.
Well, I had loved Nichols and May because I had an album. My aunt had the Nichols and May and I thought, I walk in Second City and I went, there they are on the wall. You know, it was like Alan Arkin, Abe Schreiber, you know, Burns and Schreiber, Ed Asner, Joan Rivers. Like there were people that on these black and white pictures on the wall. And I thought, wow, this is where it all, this is it. So yeah. I auditioned, there was 350 people auditioning and the theater, the producer at the time, Joy Sloan said, we're only picking two women. You know, it was hard for women. It was like in a group, there'd be four guys and two girls. It was always.
And they knew, they knew in advance, like we're only picking
two. They only needed two for their touring company. So they would see 350 people to find two. Well, I didn't know those odds. When you're young, you don't think like, oh, I don't have a chance. And
sure.
Okay, whatever. So I get on stage and they're like, do as many characters through the door. Maybe it was called Three Through the Door or whatever it was. And I remember Last Temptation of Christ had just come out. And I had uh-huh. a movie, but I chose to be a nun on a panel, a talk show panel. And I was speaking about the movie. I don't even remember what I said, but I got a call that night. I auditioned because I thought it would be fun. I was working at a real estate company. And then they said to me, she called me, Joy Sloan called me and she said, we want you to audition. We want you to be a member of the touring company and you're going to understudy Bonnie Hunt. What? Well, I was in classes when Mike Myers was on stage and I was in classes. So I came up with, you know, Ian Gomez and Steve Colbert, Paul Dinello, Amy Sedaris. That was my group. And then, yeah. you know, Tina Fey and those Rachel Dratch were a little bit right after me, but what a huge time, massive amount of talent and variations of different styles that came through around that period of time was really incredible.
Was it competitive or did it feel like
a little, it was competitive. I mean, there were so many strong women when I was doing it and I liked that. And we really got along. I mean, I really feel like it was fun. It was competitive in the way that, you know, you'd be in a show and feel like, well, this is the thing. When we were touring, I remember people saying like, she's got more scenes than I do, or he's in, you know, this person's heavy in the first act and there's too many.
Right.
Well, there was always a part of me that thought we're all getting paid the same. So it's like, all right, you want to sweat in 10 scenes? I'll be in three. I don't care. You know, but like I thought it's better to have, I realized it was better to have just a few that really showcased you well than do many. And the thing I felt like that, because I feel like that has been the career I've had in TV is like, there was a documentary. I'm sure you've heard of it called That Guy Who Was In That Thing.
Oh yeah.
I need to make one for girls because I have the career that I always loved when I was little. I'd watch movies and go, oh, there's that lady again.
Yeah. Yeah.
She knows her name, but she played the doctor in That Thing and then the nosy neighbor in That Thing and then this person in That Thing. And that's who I became, you know, so it was kind of good that I didn't really like, I don't need to be like the lead and everything. I just wanted to just be part of it.
So keep giving me the jobs.
Yeah,
keep giving me the jobs. Don't get tired of me. Don't put me in too much. So I'm oversaturating anything. Uh-huh. Just let me work.
I was so in love with a show that you did years ago. And I'm sure you did a lot of stuff before that, but it was when I first knew of you was Happy Hour.
Oh yeah.
I love you in that show. I just remember thinking, and I remember going like, this is so cool now that you can look. Because before when you'd watch TV when we were little, you'd be like, just have to remember who was in what. Now it's like,
yeah,
you just go to your, you know, look up like, wait, what's that person's name? I want to know. And I remember certain people I would look up to go, I want to remember who that is.
Yeah.
That's how good you were.
It was such a nice, what a nice group of people.
Such a cool group of talented people. Really.
Yeah.
That was one of the shows that you go, what? I used to feel like, is there something about when I love something, why does it go away? Like,
absolutely.
Like, oh my gosh. Every time.
I know.
And then other things stay on forever that you go, who's watching that?
I know.
Fascinating to me.
But I know.
Great big world out there. So
it is a great big world
I'm
out there.
I'm so fascinated by shows that 11 season. Really?
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And then there's other things that I go, oh, I love, but I have, I'm a fan of TV still, but I still now find it hard. You've done so much. So do you watch it and go,
but you've done so much. Well, you've done everything.
I wanted to ask you, because you've done so many things. Can you enjoy it? Do you go, how many takes of that do they have to do? Like, sometimes I can't get into the story of it. I'm going like,
girl,
wow, I wonder how many times.
I can't watch comedy.
No, I can't.
I can't watch comedy. Unless maybe, I mean, I feel like I gravitate towards maybe like a British dramedy.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm fine. But if it's like all those shows that my friends are on, I'm like, I can't watch that. Mm. I'll maybe watch an episode to be like, you're brilliant. Of course you're brilliant. I already knew that.
Right.
But it's not, it's, I'm either, there's some reason I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it because I auditioned for it and didn't get it.
Same.
I'm thinking about it because I'm fascinated by why the writing ends up the way it is, and trying to imagine where in the noting process it sort of got diluted,
so
or
you, say that,
you know what I mean? It's just like very,
I love hearing you say that, because I feel the exact same way. I find myself liking hybrid things. Like I watched The Rehearsal last night on HBO. Nathan Fielder.
Oh yeah.
Where it's incorporating a very funny dry person with real people. I love
Nathan Fielding.
Oh my God. Right. I love really watching things like, and then I realized as a kid, I loved Candid Camera. I love things where real people get in situations that I go, and they had to sign that waiver and they said, okay. Like they had,
I get the uncomfortable, creepy crawly feeling about like people being embarrassed, or like I tip over quickly into like, oh no, now I just feel bad for that jerk.
I watch Rapt Fascination.
You know what I haven't watched yet is the Japanese, like, you're old enough now to go do a little job on your own. Have you heard of this?
No. Oh okay. I've heard of this. Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Have you watched
it
yet?
Very young. No.
We need to make a pact that both of us go and watch it, because everyone is like, I cannot believe you haven't watched it yet. A tiny child who's like holding a little list. That's gonna go.
And they go out into the world and they're safe. Yes. I saw it online, but I haven't seen a whole thing. Mm-hmm. I love
stuff. Yeah. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sit down to watch and I don't know what to watch. I get overwhelmed. So I should put a little list, because I know
have a list. But what happens is I start making the list, and then somehow I'll just go back and watch whatever's at the top of the list, and like it never gets, there's like stuff down, way down in there. Like I still have, I'm not saying that this list has existed since it was on, because that would be the saddest thing in the world, but I still have the number one ladies detective agency on my list. And that came out like 15 years ago.
And recommended by a bajillion people. I'll get to it. I know. There's so much good stuff to watch. And I have friends and things that I've meant to see, and it's hard. It is hard to keep up, but I love TV. And I love, I love it. And I love that now I feel like it's important what we do.
I agree. And I'm so happy that, you know, someone was just saying to me like, oh, you know, so-and-so's in this series, it's their first time ever doing television. I was like, I feel like we can retire that. I feel like we can retire like, ooh, it's their first time ever doing television. It's like, we all know that TV is better than most movies now, right? Like, it's not that like impressive to be in films and to avoid television. Like, you're missing all the good stuff if you're not doing TV. Right. So I'm not surprised everybody came over and wants to do a great series.
Yeah, that's back in the day when people were like, it was a huge deal if a movie star would do TV.
But yeah.
It's like everybody does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, is it?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Carrie.
I am Psychic Ross, and I will be reading you this evening.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay. I co-host a podcast. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
Yes, I'm sensing that. The spirits are telling me. It is a show about
poodles. Well, it's about like fringe science and spirituality and claims of the paranormal. And oh, you knew that.
You do research online.
But more importantly, like we do in-person investigations.
In-person investigate as well.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
See?
Me and my friend, this is so weird, my friend Ross, same name as you.
Weird.
He and I just go and try them all out. And actually, we've gone to a number of psychics. And to be honest with you, it's a lot like this. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie. They can find it at MaximumFun.org.
I could have told you that.
I got to play this MASH game with you. I don't know if you're prepared for this or not, but at the end of every episode, I play this MASH game. It's a game that I was taught as a youngster. And essentially, it's just like a schoolyard game that trades in wish fulfillment. So it should just be like a positive thing that leaves you thinking about some of your favorite things. But it is also very sci-fi because I'm going to create an alternate universe world for you, Rose, that is going to look potentially very different from this universe. And you can just enjoy knowing that alternate universe Rose is just having all of this. If you want to swap places with her for a minute, you go ahead.
Okay.
So first I'm going to start out with, given our last piece of conversation, three TV shows. It doesn't matter if they're on anymore or not. Three TV shows that we get to add you to as a cast member.
I would like to be added to Green Acres.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be added to That Girl.
Great.
And I'm going to be added to Beverly Hillbilly.
I thought you might say Carol Burnett.
Oh, that's such a good one. Oh, switch mine to Carol Burnett.
Okay.
Oh, that's so good.
Because I got excited about the idea of seeing you in that cast. I think you would fit in seamlessly. Seamlessly. Okay, next one is three foods that in this reality, you know, you eat too much, you feel sick, or it's bad for the environment in some way, or you're allergic to it, or it's something that you had that's very exotic that you haven't been able to find the likeness of since that one time you had that perfect whatever. In this reality, everything is available. Snap of your fingers, you can have it whenever you want. Three foods that you would like to be able to have at the snap of your fingers with zero ramifications.
This is the best question anyone in the history of time. Amen. I would like to have as much black licorice. I know that's polarizing. People either love it or they hate it. I mean,
I love it.
Recoil from it. Do you?
Yeah, and I really like the German salty licorice.
I love it all. I love mostly unsalted, but I will eat salted. I love black licorice. I would love to eat unlimited black licorice. I would like
beautiful
unlimited pizza all day, every day pizza. Thank you. And I would like to eat, I'm just going to go for the giant fudgiest pan of brownies. Why not?
Great.
Yeah. And it's not the edges. I don't care. You can have the edges. I want that thick, dense, like a brownie so heavy that if you dropped it, you'd be like, that hurt my foot.
Yes.
I wouldn't feel sick. I wouldn't feel itchy from it. I wouldn't
know
all the things that no.
No, nope. Nothing bad can happen. Nothing.
Love
okay. Next one. Let's do three places in the world you would love to have another home if we could sort of teleport you there.
Ooh, I would like a home. And mind you, I've never been there, but I know from the pictures, Janet.
I applaud this. I applaud not having been there and still wanting it.
Tuscany, because I've seen pictures.
Yeah, that's a very safe bet. Absolutely.
And I want a home in London. I've never been there either. How about that? I've only been to Spain. And I would like for sure a beautiful apartment in New York. I don't even care where. Somewhere in New York. That's a cool neighborhood.
I should have told you, by the way, that MASH stands for mansion, apartment, shack, or house. So you will end up with either a mansion, apartment, shack, or house in one of these places that
mansion,
we've just said.
Apartment, shack, or house. Wow.
Next category, let's do three movies that you can jump into whenever you want. You're not reliving the plot. It's just you're able to just be in that world with those characters in that environment.
I got to get into Goodfellas. I'm so into that world. So great. Into and The Godfather. I don't have much,
great.
Much difference. And I'm going to go into, I think I'm going to go into Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Why not?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wait, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or Charlie and the Chocolate?
Willy Wonka, the one with Gene Wilder.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I need you to make that very important distinction.
Yes. Yes, Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely.
You know what's funny? Because when you said it earlier, I thought Coraline. because I love Coraline.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Do you want to trade out one of the two?
No.
You're very comfortable with Goodfellas and Godfather. Yeah. Gotta get those mafias in there. Gotta get them in there.
That world. And I think what happened to me that I can't, I am fascinated by the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it. Okay. Next, let's do three places in time or three times or eras that I can send you back to visit, and you're in a safety bubble, so nothing bad can happen to you.
Okay. Well, I love the 40s. I think the fashion of the 40s.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, I would like to be in the Gatsby era. So what do we want to call it?
Yeah.
Them?
Like the jazz age, like mm-hmm. the roaring 20s.
That would be so fun.
Great.
And then I just for kicks, because I was a baby, really, I want to know what that early period of the 60s was like when Kennedy was first elected president.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it all went off the rails.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. All due respect to your wonderful husband. All due respect. In this alternate universe, for whatever reason, you don't connect. So three, you know what I mean? It's luck of the draw. Three people, they can be from any age, any era. They can be from a book, character in a cartoon. I don't care. Three that you would love to have some romance or sexy times with.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I might as well just say Willy Wonka. I'm kidding. I don't know. Can you imagine? He owns a candy factory. Of course I'm going to pick him. No, I'm kidding.
He wears suspenders and a ruffly shirt. Of course I'm going to pick him.
This is a character from a movie, correct?
Oh, it doesn't have to be. You could say John F. Kennedy. I doubt you will, but... Or, you know, you could say Paul Newman, circa blah, blah, blah.
And I would have been friends. I think John F. Kennedy Jr. and I would have been friends.
Yeah.
Why don't we put him there?
Great. Look. JFK Jr.
Sure.
Great.
And then who else? This is so difficult for me. What's wrong? I don't have do I not have a good fantasy life? Thank you.
My aim is to expose to you your sad fantasy.
No, who's a character that I love? Like, I really literally can't think of it. When I was a little girl, I loved Pinocchio. Wouldn't have it, damn it.
I'm absolutely putting that on here.
Pinocchio.
You did it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Great.
I love Pinocchio. I love Great. The other person I mentioned.
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. And
JFK Jr.
Those are my choices. A wooden puppet, a candy factory owner, a very handsome son of a political.
that's very, very, very pleasing to me. I could make it work with Willy Wonka. I think
8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be. Why didn't I say? And I won't. I mean, I'm not going to say what's his name? Serpico. What's his name?
Yeah, Al Pacino.
What's it? Scarface. I wouldn't say
Scarface.
I love mob movies, but I'm not going to say, Don Corleone.
Yeah. No.
What's his name from The Godfather? You know, that kind of got ruined for me because Al Pacino's character, I loved in The Godfather. But then I saw him not that long ago in a play in New York, and I was like,
uh-oh, no.
Kind of got, yeah.
Yeah. You're done. That's the magic of the Italian stallion that you will possibly end up with, Pinocchio. Ageless. Ageless and timeless, still
and
Italian.
Think about it. Think of how smart that it was. I was the first play I ever saw as a little girl. And my mother said the Fisher Theater, those seats were like the kind that were the velvet seats that went up when mm-hmm. you got up. And I was such a little kid that they had to put all the purses on the seat behind me to keep it down. And my mother said that when the Blue Fairy appeared, I went in the quiet theater, Fisher Theater, gorgeous giant theater in Detroit. And I went, there she is. And I was furious with people for laughing at me. My mother goes, she was so upset the people laugh. And now she's upset when the people don't laugh. So I love that. I'm thinking now, I didn't realize on a conscious level, I saw Pinocchio as a little kid. But think about it, to pick him for my guy, because outwardly, as soon as he lies, you can tell their nose is growing.
That's true. You're in good shape. You're going to be able to call him on it. Not so fast. Also, I'm sort of imagining you silently pulling money out of all the purses to get back at the people who were laughing at you. Oh, am I cute? Am I so cute? That feels like a 20.
Theater snacks. I loved it. That was the live show that I saw that was fascinating to me. It's like the Geppetto and the puppet and everything.
Oh, yeah.
All coming together now. You made an impression on me.
Let me tell you this. No, you tell me this. three plays that you haven't gotten to see, whether they've been made into plays or it's just a production you didn't get to see, that sort of gives you that same magical feeling. Like, I'm not saying you know that they would get, I'm saying, like, we are creating a situation in which if you saw The Lion King, that's a bad example, but, you know, you would have that same adrenalized feeling of, like, there she is. Like, three plays that we can make for you.
I did see The Lion. My Susie took me to see The Lion King on my birthday, and I had that feeling of, like, the animals coming down the aisles. Like, it was that. Turned to, like, when I was little, I loved that feeling.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying is, like, I said it's a bad example because I assumed you had seen it. But if there's something that, like, it could even be something that you never, that has never been made into a play, that you could, that you can sort of turn into a play. Like, oh, I loved this book when I was like, oh, what's the Giving Tree play look like if it has this sort of magical, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
your world building a little bit.
Well, do you remember a book called The Borrower's Afield?
Yeah.
Right.
The Borrowers. Yeah.
And they were little, and they used to,
yeah,
talk to me. Like, to me, I believe at some point there was probably a movie, but I would love to see that, like the musical.
Oh, yeah.
Borrowers, maybe. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Cause then everything is time. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
Back to our first conversation.
No, it's great though.
Yeah. And then I loved, Julie Andrews wrote a book called Mandy. And I loved that book when I was little. And cause I remember there was a room that somebody glued seashells all to the walls of the room. It was her seashell room. And I just think about that sometimes, that scene. So maybe if there was something made about that,
that's beautiful.
Oh, Mandy. And then what was the other book I was thinking? You know what? I've been thinking about this because someone in Chicago was teaching a class and he said, name a short story or a novel that affected you when you were growing up. And a lot of people wrote Catcher in the Rye. I remember thinking Catcher in the Rye was a favorite book of mine, but I think I loved that book because all the other things they were forcing us to read, I didn't connect with as much, but I remembered it made me think, that conversation made me think of a story. The Necklace was a short story that I read years ago about this woman who borrows this fancy necklace and she loses it. And then she has to work. And it's like about how you can't lie, because when she finally replaces this necklace that she lost, the woman goes, oh, mine was paste. And she realizes she thought she's replacing, I think, this diamond necklace. And like paste, she said, so plastic.
Yeah.
So I just been thinking about borrowing things and how this culture is, showbiz is like, you get the jewels loaned to you and you get that's very Cinderella. And and everything I read when I was little, whether it's the necklace, there was a book called All of a Kind Family where one of them borrows the sister's dress and she spills something on it, or Cinderella and she loses the shoe. There's so many stories that are a cautionary tale of don't borrow clothes and jewelry. Uh-huh. There's something to do with that. But I want to see that musical, all the things that went wrong, or a play of when you borrowed something from somebody.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And clothes.
Oh. I'm putting it as the necklace, and then I'm going to put a little et al here. Just
it stresses me out thinking of what could happen in a thing that someone loaned you, this ball, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I caught the end of it on fire, but everything else.
I think that is definitely
stressful.
That's definitely a fear of mine. I don't think I've ever even borrowed anything that was of value because I absolutely didn't trust myself to not ruin it.
Like, I must say,
it ruins the night. Like, is it worth it? You know what I mean? If you're that person who's going to worry about it, then why do it?
To plug the show for a second, I'm in a show. So this morning I gave an interview and she said, oh, it's 17 nominations. And are you so excited for the Emmy Awards? I said, and she goes, what are you wearing? And I go, I don't know. People are telling me I should borrow a dress. Just even saying I might borrow a dress started to make me like go,
yeah.
I'm going to get dirty. I'm gonna and I'm very careful person. And I was like, someone's going to spill wine on me. You know,
right? Yeah. Oh, I'm now I need to like follow up and find out what you end up deciding.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Such a cool game. I mean, it really makes your mind go to like all the other corners that you haven't looked in.
Right.
Oh, I love that.
That's why I love it. I'm addicted to this game. Okay. And then final category for you. Ooh, what do I want to do?
Are the categories different every time you play this match game?
There's ones that are consistent. Like there's always the food one. There's always the romance one. I love hearing what movies people would jump into. So I would say that is consistent. It just depends on if like sometimes... Oh, what am I thinking? Of course I know what I want to do for you. Mm. I need to do something with miniatures.
Ooh.
Let's do three places in the world, or even just like one house or one castle, whatever. But three physical places in the world that I'm going to give you a perfect, like a magical room that has perfectly miniaturized every aspect of it. So it could be like your childhood home, or it could be, you know, Buckingham Palace, or it could be.
Am I
shrinking?
I get to shrink down and be in there, or I'm looking at it. Okay. So
yeah, it comes with the shrink.
It comes with the shrink. And you get to like wander around it. Oh,
yeah.
Fun. Ooh, that's a good one. For whatever reason, I'm like thinking the Breakers. When I was a little girl, my parents took us to Rhode Island, and my sister, every kid, there were just two of us, but we got to pick what we wanted to do for the day. And I wanted to see mansion tour. I want to go on a mansion tour. So there's
the
mansions to pick. So I chose the Breakers because it was, I think, Cornelius Vanderbilt mansion.
Uh-huh.
And I got to go tour this mansion, and I just remember the rooms and the Hearst Castle.
Yes.
I would love that replica of the Hearst Castle.
Okay, great.
And be tiny. Because there was an indoor pool with all that tile.
Yeah.
Oh, God, gorgeous.
Tiny, tiny tiles.
Love.
Okay, Hearst Castle. Am I putting Breakers in too?
Breakers.
Yeah, Breakers.
I went to Spain with my family, and there was the Palau in Barcelona. It was all these little tiny tiles. I remember thinking it was so beautiful. I got mad. You know, when your emotions are like, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so euphoric. I have nowhere else to go but down into like, yeah. I made a complete circle of, I've never been happier. I've never been more. And now I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
I think that happens with really good food too, where you're like eating it and you're like, this
is fun. Yeah.
Why am I angry now? Like,
mind goes. But yeah, somewhere in Spain with all the Gaudi architecture. I love inlay.
Oh, Gaudi. Oh, yes, indeed.
Mosaics. And if that was shrunken down tiny and I was looking at it,
Gaudi was it. Yeah, I've never been to Spain, and I've been told like you've got to see this Gaudi stuff in person. It's going to blow your mind.
You can't believe they could figure out how to do it. You just can't believe it. You're just looking at it and you go, oh. Just when anything's built before the age of like, and a crane brought this in, you're like, how did they do this?
Yeah,
like it's 806. It's your 806. How did they make these cottages?
That blows me away. It's so amazing. Yeah, it's so amazing. All right, give me a number between 1 and 8.
7.
Great. While I do some very important metaphysical, eeny, meeny, miny, mo type calculations, will you please tell people, I'd love for you to reiterate where they can find you, maybe give another little shout out to Hacks and anything else you want people to know about.
Yeah.
And I will be figuring out your 100% guaranteed MASH alternate universe.
I love it. Well, please watch Hacks on HBO Max if you haven't already. You can catch up on season 1, it's streaming, and season 2 of HBO Max's Hacks, 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 Hacks. And we'll be starting season 3. I don't know when we're starting season 3. There's going to be a show on Hulu called Reboot, created by Steve Levitan, who created Modern Family.
Yeah.
Stars Paul Reiser and Keegan-Michael Key, Johnny Knoxville, Judy Greer, Rose Abdu, and a lot of other very talented people. And that's going to start, I do not know when, but I said to my friends, get Hulu if you don't have it, or you're going to miss this really cool show that's about a hit sitcom in the late 80s, I think, that gets a reboot. And that's why it's called Reboot. And I play an older writer on that. And there's a movie coming out called Something from Tiffany that I did with Zoe Deutsch. And that's going to come out, I think, on Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And I have a very small part in that, but that was super fun. So I think that's the stuff I have coming out.
Great.
Ish.
Brilliant. I have your future. This is, I'm feeling really good about this. I think you'll enjoy it as well.
I am fascinated with this game. I want to learn it so I can do it to other people.
I can make that very possible. It's quite easy. You can make up your own categories for people based on what you know about them and what you think they would enjoy, or you can torture them with things that they don't want to end up with that you can
make them think like you made me.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, first of all, I'm going to congratulate you on your beautiful apartment. We'll call it a flat because it's in London.
Okay.
Beautiful flat in London. I must say, I just spent more time in London than I ever have, which was still only like maybe a week total.
Hmm.
And I'm in love with it. And I wasn't before. The other times I went, I was like, oh, this is so charming. I totally get it. But I didn't really get it until this last time. And now I'm like, could I move there? Could I move there for a minute? Like, it's wonderful. Okay, so beautiful flat in London. Very excited about that. I also, I'm so sorry. I was going to save the fact that you end up with Willy Wonka for the end, but my eye keeps being drawn to it.
Listen. I couldn't be happier.
So I just want to put it out there. I'm excited about this. It's very easy for me to imagine him. He's very dapper. Listen, he walks with a cane. He's got a top hat. Where else but London is he going to be happy?
He's got a velvet coat on. I'm perfectly happy.
Exactly.
Candy in his pockets. Oh,
exactly. Yeah. In touch with his childlike self, but still responsible enough to run a really great business. You also have the ability to jump back to the roaring 20s, to the jazz age, to the Gatsby era. I'm excited for you because you've got these different points of entry for that. You can be here in the States and kind of have that, you know, New York in the 20s feeling. You can see what LA was like, which I find fascinating. As I get older and live in LA longer, I'm like more and more fascinated by the history of this weird city. But you can also go to like, oh, London in the 20s. Oh, sorry, did you want to bop over to Paris in the 20s? Yes, you do. So you can visit the 20s. You also can jump into The Godfather.
Ooh.
Whenever you want. Get some of that smoldering, it's kind of silky mafia energy, which is a totally different vibe. You're just getting a real slice of a bunch of different lives, which I think is great. You are also somehow in the cast of Green Acres.
There you go.
So congrats on that.
You have a pig named Arnold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of peignoir sets with marabou feathers on my...
You bet you do. You bet you do. You also have created this beautiful play for us all to enjoy of The Borrowers. You, a very cool, very like everything's big, we're tiny. We get to watch and be tiny when we're watching the show. And speaking of shrinking down and being tiny, you also have your very own Breakers that you can just shrink down. You can play with it as a full-grown human, or you can shrink down and hang out as a little tiny person inside of this perfectly rendered miniature mansion.
Heavenly.
Not bad, right?
No, love.
And that just leaves us with, when you just want to kick back and just think about how fantastic all of this is, I want to make sure you're wearing a steel-toed boot because you're going to have a pan of brownies whenever you want it. And they're going to be heavy.
They're heavy.
Real heavy.
I won't drop a crumb. Used to be like, now from my taste, like now is not magical right now. I can't do any of those things. I love hearing about it. But I was thinking, if I could just even sit on the couch watching, if I had enough time to sit down and watch The Godfather, just eating a half a brownie, I'd be happy. You know, like,
yeah,
it's like,
well, maybe you'll make that happen. You sort of tuck it away. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, exactly. why can't I take some of those elements, and some things that I fantasize about are kind of achievable. Like I can.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
100%.
Soon we'll be able to travel more. I should go to London. Like, what am I waiting for? I need to do.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to go to London. I think we've put it out there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's something happens where they're like, and you'll be shooting this in London.
I know. So, I'd love that.
You can also make it happen for yourself, but I'm just saying life has a weird way of doing that. So.
Yes. Yes. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, Rose, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so happy.
And we know so many people in common and more.
I know.
It to me. I don't even remember. I think it was James C.
Yes, it was James
C. I was like, well, I want to do it. But like you said, a lot
he brought you up and I was like, I've never actually gotten, like, no one has ever actually sent me her contact information. He immediately sent it and I immediately reached out.
I'm so glad because I'm such a fan of yours and it was meant to happen like right
back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The show is produced by Julian Burrell and Christian Duenas.
And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi. We could save kittens from
trees. Lunch on skies. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.